Welcome once again to the Positive Herpes Podcast, the show where we spread positivity, knowledge, and passion like herpes. I'm your boy, Nate Cubs, and this week, yet again, I have another recording from one of our good friend Kevin's Learning Bazaars, Brain Exchange, Wisdom Potluck. The name always changes, but the ideas are the same. Basically, it's a bunch of like-minded friends who get together and share what they can about something that they're passionate or knowledgeable about to all of the other friends in the room. Our first presenter goes by the name of Travis Rios. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him for about 20 years. And today he will be talking to us about why it is important to honor our ancestors and different methods to do so.
Is that the image of the staff of Mercury is very prevalent image. And if you look at the staff of Mercury, it shows two snakes wrapping around a central staff. And at the top, there's wings and like an orb. So it kind of gives an image of like moving through. It's very similar to like the image of like the double helix DNA molecule. I have been led to believe that that actually is a metaphor. And of course, they had no way of possibly like observing like the DNA molecule. But I have a feeling that that was a metaphor of some kind of internal gnosis in which they discovered that. DNA was also discovered through like a transcendental experience, kind of like that. So anyways, honoring the ancestors. In our DNA is we carry the memories, talents, gifts, and also traumas of our ancestors within us. And this has been supported through science in the field of epigenetics, which is shown us, at least definitely over the last decade or so, that we inherit memories, trauma, talents, gifts. So we carry them within us, and in some ways, maybe like if we feel their presence or influence, maybe it has something to do with that, from a physical basis at least, but from a spiritual basis, they're just always around, always with us. So, maybe something I was thinking, maybe if we want to go around and say something we've inherited from our ancestors, like something could be anything. So, I guess Nathan wants to start.
I'll start. When Travis first moved back to Santa Cruz, we were hanging out a bunch, and he was living up here in Bonny Doon, and he had this really cool landlord who made bows and arrows. And I was fortunate enough to receive such a gift of bow and arrow. And actually, Travis and I had this discussion that I might have picked up my accuracy for projectiles from my ancestors.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can go in a circle to keep it easy.
Yeah, so I think I'm pretty sure I got my like analytical like gambling mind from my ancestors. It seems to run in the male line of my father's son.
Risk-taking.
Yeah.
My great-grandmother was a gypsy in Russia, and she escaped during the Latin years because she was going down. And, I never met her, but I definitely feel like she was really strong spiritually, and I definitely feel a connection with her, especially when I dabble in that.
I suspect that I inherited a lot of my dreams from my family because, for instance, I used to have these dreams all the time back when I was a kid where I would become addicted to heroin. And no idea where it came from. Turns out, I didn't find out until like a couple years ago, my grandfather used to be a heroin addict. I used to have dreams where I was put in jail, and my dad spent a lot of time in and out of jail. And the weirdest one was the fact that I used to have these dreams where I would have a sister who would get lost. Recurring dream, sister, she would get lost, that was the entire dream. When I turned 15 or 16, I found out I had an older sister I didn't know about, that my mom put up for adoption. As far as you're saying, all the traumas and memories, it seems like I suspect they may have manifested in dreams.
Can I interrupt for just a second? I suspect that the alchemical process is actually a process of repairing and healing those inherited wounds and traumas. So anyways, I just wanted to add that.
Sure. Well, I was saying, I just got my genes tested.
Oh. cool. 23andMe?
Yeah. Highly recommend it. It's fun. It's like a science project. 97.2% Ashkenazi. And what's interesting is, like, I've always, like, when I was a lot, pretty much, like, resisted my Judaism. And then I went to Hebrew school, and, like, my mom was, like, because my mom used to have, like, you know, it's, like, Reiki certified, and it's, like, a thing that you have to, like, give such Jewish guys, and I'd be, like, you have Jewish Catholic. And, like, somehow I, you know, Jewish studies major, and now I'm working full-time for a Jewish organization. I just felt like it pulled and all, and it just came natural in a way that I feel like there's something there that's more than just, I feel like if I were just looking at myself isolated, that would be too surface level.
Mm-hmm. So you're honoring your ancestors in your work.
Yes.
I am born of two engineers, so I inherit a lot of logic and emotional processing. But I never met my grandfather, and I always had this like sense about him. Never really knew him. Haven't seen very many pictures of him. And I also had the sense of like a Native American man kind of like being around me. And then I got sort of a confirmation from this psychic woman who, you know, described both of those characters, you know, to the fullest extent of my imagination. So I feel like I've somehow inherited these, like, spirit guides walking with me. And it helps me be a more spiritual person, even though I am such a logic science.
Both are compatible.
Yes.
They are.
Or they can be.
They can be. Even though they try to not be.
You try.
I think I've inherited a lot of my high energy from my parents. They're both a lot of can't sit still. And, I think my love for the outdoors from my dad is his favorite thing. So, I think, I don't know where else that comes from. Gotta come from somewhere.
It comes from being a tree person.
That's good.
Cool. I believe I inherited my profession and skills as a therapist from my grandfather and my father. I'm a third generation therapist. I originally, when I was studying in school back at UCF, like for my undergrad, I was originally studying engineering, and then I started having like spiritual awakenings and like experiences and stuff, and then I was like, I don't want to do engineering, and then I switched to psychology. And then when I was like talking about that with my dad, he's like, oh, you know that your grandpa was an engineer and then he became a psychologist? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, what? That's really that's interesting. So it's like I'm like following like similar path, like, yeah. And actually today with this workshop, hopefully we all have time, I would like to honor my grandfather in creating an altar and a small ritual on this little space over here. So that's it.
Okay. Well, intuitively, the first thing that came to my mind when you asked the question was ability to sing opera. Because when I was a kid, I'd run around going, ah! And I have no idea where this came from. I don't know if it's an ancestral thing, but right off the bat, that's what I thought when you asked that question. Then hiking from my dad, and I too am third generation therapist. My grandfather and my mother and almost everyone else in my family, all psychologists. And it's weird to have so many psychologists grouped together.
Yeah.
But
how do you feel
the dinner conversation.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, man.
It's an intense cauldron in there around the psychology family.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure you have an idea of it.
Thanks for allowing me your circle, first timer. And what I hear from my ancestors would be just the willingness to start somewhere different. Seems like a risk taker type thing. You were saying that with Kevin, and I can identify with that. Like they start themselves. My mom was the one first to come out here, and so she's on her own. It's just that willingness to go for something different, something other than the norm. You know? So I guess that does it. Rizik.
Yeah.
So there's a few things that I can kind of pinpoint because my grandfather's still around. And I feel like he has a big influence on who I am, and I would love to have known, you know, his parents and then their parents, and kind of see how it all entwines and tangles in there. But he's a lumberjack out in the woods and has a lot of Sasquatch stories, and I really like Sasquatch. So some of this fantastical thinking and nature loving and lumberjacking. I also did some lumberjacking. Actually, it's called Lumberjill.
That's cool.
Where does your grandfather live?
Where is he living now? He's in Modesto.
Okay, where was he?
Where does Sasquatch live?
Yeah, where does Sasquatch?
Not in Modesto.
Sasquatch is worldwide, baby.
Well, Pacific Crest Trail for one.
Okay, where's that? Up in like Northern California.
Well, the Pacific Crest Trail travels all along through different parts of California, but it kind of goes through Yosemite, so out in that.
Okay, in that area. Cool.
All right.
Well, no, I'm just like, Jen, I want to go, man. I want to know this specific area.
I've been noticing how, like, lucid reality is, and I'm thinking, you know, reality's so lucid that if you want Sasquatch in your reality, you could probably have Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Unless there was a part of your reality that also didn't believe in Sasquatch.
So let's try to refocus.
Yeah, sorry.
So, Emma.
Women in my family on my mother's side have handed down a tendency to immigrate to the other side of the world from their mothers. My great grandmother immigrated from maybe it was Germany to the United States or England to the United States, and then my grandmother moved from the United States to England. My mother moved from England, to the United States, and I am really probably not going to stay here in the United States. So I feel like this desire to, like Enrique would say, was it Enrique, yes?
Yeah.
Yes. That to just like go out and start over and make your own life exactly how you want to build it, wherever you want to build it, that core desire I inherited from my family.
Yeah. This is something interesting. As you were talking about your mom being from England, I thought I heard like a slight British accent like coming through your words.
It does sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. So that's everybody. What about the dogs? Nah, that's okay. I'm just kidding.
I know what me and
Harry. So what's the time looking like, Kevin?
15 minutes.
Oh, that's plenty of time. That's great. Okay. Cultivating personal relationship with deceased ancestors. So, you know, a lot of people describe feeling connected to their ancestors or see them come to them in dreams, or sometimes they feel them like a presence, especially after ancestors or relatives die. That's a commonly reported experience from talking to people. I have a friend who has worked in like hospice and stuff, and she describes that family members say that they've experienced that a lot. It's a pretty common experience. So they're always with us. It doesn't matter if you believe in like spirituality or science. I mean, epigenetics, spirit, energy, whatever. They're always with us. So connecting with them, I think they always have like an inherent interest in your well-being because you're their descendant. They want the best for you in most cases. Sometimes maybe there are some ancestors who are particularly angry or not so nice, who may have not so nice things to think or say, but for the most part, most ancestors are out there for their to help you. We can reconnect with them by thinking about them, talking about them, talking about the stories of their lives. That keeps them alive in some way in the physical realm. Stories of a... Also, okay, so besides our immediate ancestors, we can think of like our grandparents or our great-grandparents. You know, beyond that, really, the stories are kind of forgotten in most cases. So beyond that, we have stories of tribes or groups of people, and keeping those ancestral memories of those peoples alive is also a way of honoring our further back ancestors. Yeah, and another way we can also honor, there's a couple other ways too. I mean, I'm sure you could think of a lot of them. Helping them in resolving their unresolved business. That was very repetitive wording. Helping them, like, work through, you know, like, we inherit a lot of stuff. I can safely say, like, for my grandfather, he was a very promiscuous man, and that caused a lot of trouble in his life. And I have definitely felt a, like, kind of something in that. Like, there's, like, can be a destructiveness to relationships if it's not checked. So helping myself, helping him resolve issues. Not saying that sexuality is bad, but maybe that there is a certain kind of sexuality that can be exploitative and or not beneficial. And another way of honoring ancestors is creating altars, which is the next part of what I wanted to do here. Would you guys be down for creating an ancestor altar on this little table over here?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Cool. Okay, so I brought some paper. Maybe... Okay, let me think about this. Okay, so I brought some papers, and maybe if you guys want to write down something about an ancestor, a message to an ancestor, whatever you want to do. Maybe if you want to, like, rip these into pieces and, like, share them, and, like, you can not, don't rip the message into pieces, but, like, yeah, just break off a little piece of paper.
Do you have pens? Do we have pens?
What?
Pens?
Oh, I have one pen.
I'm sorry.
That's my bad.
You're doing a good job with that.
Ancestors.
You're welcome.
I'm doing your past with Sadie. Yes.
Ben, paper for your ancestors.
Thank you very much.
Paper for the ancestors.
Thank you very much. Okay. This is the time to look out.
What do you want to say to your ancestors?
I wonder.
What are we writing here?
Message to your ancestors. Right?
Okay.
Or what they tell
you. Or something you want to remember about them, or anything about, anything like that. This letter. So maybe when you guys finish writing what you're going to write, you could put it in this bowl here.
The ancestors would appreciate a better head on that PBI. It's
the same. I got some log in either if you want to use log.
Ancestors understand proper pouring technique.
When creating an altar
for
ancestors or also other spirits as well, or whatever, like, or
whatever, offering food, like food offerings is like helpful. You know, they like apples. Probably a lot of them like beer. I also have barley and hazelnuts here. And if anybody else has any offerings, like anything that they would like to add, that's okay too.
I guess I just want to say that I was so resistant to taking calculus for so long, and then I went back home recently, I just passed two semesters of calculus, and I went back home and I realized that my maternal grandmother just turned 90.
My ancestors also like
majored in physics and math.
Both
my parents took calculus, so it's, like,
turns out my grandma's a philosophy major. I didn't know that until after I was already in.
Great. I mean, I already passed it.
Oh, thank you for
completing
a legacy.
Yeah. How about that?
In so much of history, you see families that carry on traits, you know, so instead of, like, figuring out what you want to do and going to school and then being like, oh, yeah, this is what my family already does, people would just have their kids start in the business. It's
right.
Like, just start doing what we know we can do.
The blacksmith or the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to do with the beer for
what's embedded in
not
the Taj Mahal?
Through the earth. Okay.
Wait, unless you're planning on not drinking that IPA.
Oh, grab another one. This one's for the ancestors.
Pour one out for the homies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, man.
I don't think
they want to just
like
do that.
Yeah. Well, maybe not.
I was like pecking on the PCT up north like this past week, and I was like, oh, I know hikers are gonna come through, and I had like a six pack in my car, so I just like walked in and left like two beers on a rock. I'm like, some guy's gonna be so stoked. Or a woman, whoever comes through.
In some spiritual traditions, deities of the road and highways, frequently leaving offerings to them on the like road like that. Which really means when somebody walks by the road, they'll see it and it'll help them.
Yeah, exactly. You like you know someone's gonna be walking along and be like.
It's kinda like what we did in downtown Santa Cruz. Remember that? Remember that one last year?
Give me up.
Sorry. Trying to summonize.
Remember last year with leaving a little offering on the side of the
Yeah.
You remember that? That was funny.
This altar is so beautiful, Travis.
Oh, yeah.
And Danny, keep an eye on that sage. You might start a cleansing fire.
That antler is also very appropriate. Appreciate that, Kevin. I consider myself a druid. That's my religious path. And in Druidism, one of the main gods is Hernunos, who is the antler god. He was also the keeper and protector, especially of the underworld, ancestors. Very appropriate. So, is it beautiful? So, okay, everybody's done?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And actually, I don't think there's any place we could burn this. Is there, like,
no, if we do it, we do it outside.
Okay.
But
well, it's in a bowl. It's
let's leave it. Let's leave it there for now.
You put them in the bowl.
You burned it at one point. The paper, though.
Yeah, the smoke.
Yeah, not in here.
And maybe we could bring it outside and burn
is it hot?
It later. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it at the end.
All right.
Mm.
Is that cool?
So
not the energy.
Let it marinate in the altar.
Yeah. So maybe if you guys want to like focus your energies, honoring and respecting our ancestors. On this whole space, maybe for like about 30 seconds, you can drop into a meditative space and just present with that. You can keep your eyes open too, because they're sneakful.
Whoa.
was that you dropped into the fire?
Oh, it's frankincense.
Frankincense, nice.
You want to do more?
Yeah, I want you to do it again.
Powder?
That was fun.
Yeah.
And it smells nice too.
Yeah.
Right.
That was good.
So we have a lot of time left. We have 5 minutes left. So maybe.
More like 2 minutes.
2 minutes? Okay. So does anybody want to tell a story about some, like, an ancestor that may have been close to them, or some story that they know, like something like that?
Both of my grandparents, both of my grandfathers fought in World War II. They both kind of had, like, kind of epic stories.
Yeah.
On my mom's side, Cecil, or Pop, my grandfather, he flew planes. So he flew supplies over the French lines right on the Western Front when it started. And, you know, they shoot, like, flak into the air. So they shoot these shells that just kind of explode and concuss to, like, hit an engine and knock out parts of the plane. And literally one night, like, he got hit by flak. And his co-pilot and his crew were, like, freaking out. But apparently he was just, like, in the zone, in the pocket, just, like, stayed his course. Yeah. He was a badass pilot, and, like, it was totally fine, and they delivered their supplies. And then my grandfather Lou, my father's father, he was a seaman, and he was on a cruiser that got hit by a U-boat. A torpedo hit the boat and blew a hole the size of, like, a pickup truck.
Wow.
But because of exactly where it hit, like, it was a little above the waterline, the ship kept its ballast.
Wow.
And they actually sailed it home.
Yeah.
It survived a direct hit.
I have to, can I add a war story too? So my grandfather was a helicopter pilot in the Vietnam War, and he was flying over Cambodia, I think, and got hit, and their helicopter actually crashed. And it happened on the day my mom was born.
Wow.
Yeah, and what happened actually, what is amazing, is he crashed his helicopter, and above in the pilot's seat, his whole crew died, which is horrible. But above the pilot's seat, there's a hole, and when he crashed, the helicopter came forward like this, and the, like, chopper hit down, you know, the blades, and stopped for a second, and that's when he flew through the
Through the blades.
Oh,
wow.
He got thrown out.
100 yards.
Wow.
And he got shot too in the leg. And it was the day my mom was born.
Wow.
And he lived.
And he lived.
Oh, he had to. His daughter was born.
He lived. Yeah, exactly. Dude.
Did he get shot while he was flying through the air?
Yeah.
I wonder,
and
I'm
they
curious.
Came down. And then that's.
Holy
and I,
shit.
Yeah, it's super crazy.
I'm
it's
curious about how
that's
like the exact same time that she was born. Like,
dude,
I don't even know.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Is he being shot out?
She was shot out, and he was shot out. He crowned the helicopter, and she.
That would be interesting.
I know.
It's like he's going down, and she's like, push.
Yeah.
It's one of the most unbelievable stories.
That's
a good story.
It just has to
be
that way, even if it's not that way.
Yeah, right? It's just like, yeah, and she was born right when it happened. No, I don't know, but.
You can't really know. I mean, he was in the air, and she was living, so.
Well, may,
we're timeless then.
Yeah.
May their, like, heroics and intense experiences, like, strengthen our lives.
Yeah.
Dude, I think so. Definitely.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
How much were we done?
Yeah, we are. Okay. Thank you, Travis, for leading us at the end. So we'll keep the altar up and let it continue to do its work. We should finish pouring that ancestral PBR because, I mean, I think they want a full glass.
You're right. and sometimes they like foam. It's okay.
We'll do one more.
I like foam. Yeah, right?
I like foam.
Hopefully you've learned the importance of honoring our loved ones, remembering the past, knowing where we've come from. I know I sure did. Our next presenter goes by the name of Kelly, and she is a sound healer. Watching her set up was kind of extraordinary. I had the privilege of kind of helping her out, bringing in all these different musical instruments and bells and things into the room. And what she's going to be doing is using sound to kind of heal your body. It's a great way of meditation, and it's a great way of incorporating everything that we just heard from Travis. Enjoy.
Experience with bodies. That's my job right now. So I'm going to basically just do a sound healing. I don't know if anyone's experienced this before, but if not, just basically tune into your body. So as the essential oil gets passed around, inhales in your almost to where you kind of feel like you're kicking up to the occiput. Anyway, just get a really good inhale to where it's basically almost to where it's hitting your cranial blend. And in that blend, it has just a lot of different essential oils for grounding. And I'm going to have everyone kind of just do a little bit of like a small meditation. So I'm going to have you guys start with a really cool technique that I found, where you just kind of stick your thumb to your pinky finger, left hand, fold your hand over it, and then you just kind of insert about 2 to 3 fingers below your belly button, almost to kind of where your arm will kind of rest on your hip. Put your other hand right here, and then just take probably about 5 to 6 deep belly breaths. As you guys are doing this, you might notice almost an instantaneous feeling of grounding. And it's basically just kind of allowing you to connect into your body. It's I don't know exactly why, but it's a Chinese medicine technique. And it's connecting you with the meridian that is connected with your root chakra. And I'm going to have you guys just kind of take some more deep belly breaths. You don't have to keep holding if you don't want to. And just kind of close your eyes, focus on your breath. And as I play the music, just try to maybe take like slower breaths. Maybe with each inhale, try to slow it down a little more. With each exhale, slow it down a little more. Your thoughts come, doesn't matter. Just enjoy the experience that will presume.
Thank you. I can slowly start entering back into a body. I'll be noticing my breath, noticing my hand, sweeping some small movements if needed. Big movements. And so I feel really privileged because I feel like there was some beautiful talking going on for the past few hours, and it was very, very heady and left brain, and I kind of just took you guys on a little right brain journey, so hopefully you guys feel a little more in your body and complete and enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Kelly, quickly, could you describe what this symphony was composed of?
Yeah, so this is just a cymbal from a drum kit that I got used. This is a, is the correct term for it, but I just call it a bell. It's two Tibetan singing bowls. These are crystal singing bowls. This is a Koshi wind chime.
That's so wonderful.
This is a Sansala, Tingshas, and these are some tune forks that are all tuned to your chakras.
I thought, would you change this?
The chakra piece?
Yeah.
Well, each chakra has a vibration, a certain. So this one is 384, and it's in the tune of G, which is E, C, D, C, F, G. It's going to be the throat chakra. So, I don't know if you know music or not, but yeah, each chakra has the tune. So it starts actually, A is right here, the third eye, then B. And then it goes down to C, D, E, and F is your heart, and G is your throat. But yeah. Welcome.
Okay, that was really beautiful. I just want to quickly go around. Did anybody like have anything? Because like, I noticed that the crystal bowls, especially with the base and the floor, like laying on my back, that was just like my whole body lit up with like goosebumps and my hair stood on end.
I feel like the crystal bowls were coming from within my body.
I could have sworn it was some like giant gong that you brought.
Wow, that's so nice for him in the car.
Yeah, this little guy makes a lot of noise.
I have like so much energy down here at the root and up the second chakra that it felt like it was like touching some wounds I had inside my body, and it started like hurting. I'm hoping it was healing.
I want to say also, like, yeah, like there were parts where I was like, oh, I'm kind of tense here. It's like building up pressure, and then like you hit one note, and then it would just like explode and go away.
Yeah,
cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah, it also like got me in touch with some pain in my back that I didn't know was there.
Oh.
It like a certain part of it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
can you say what the name of this one is? It's just a Koshi wind chime. It's
Koshi
a really awesome company. They make four different ones of the elements. This one is the aqua one.
Wow. That one kept bringing up like almost like childhood memories for me. I kind of wanted to cry, but I didn't have enough like to go to that. So.
What was the...
The Sansala?
Yeah. Is that with your fingers?
Yeah. It's like a kalimba.
That's really cool.
Kelly, I want to thank you for being so intuitive to the energy of the group. I definitely felt like you would change instruments at very key moments for me. I would have something coming up mentally that I didn't really know how to deal with, and it would begin to fester, and then you would hit a gong and I would feel it release.
Cool.
And that was really great. I really feel you like tapped in and listening to what each person needs as you move through the room.
Thank you. And thank you for like appearing out of nowhere. I don't even know how you got there. Just look at
there's Kayla.
Also on the subject of sound, you can hear a beautiful voice. I do. Yeah, it's very common.
And I am a Taurus, so I just want to go back to eat that. Like, this is what I do. Experience.
All the senses.
Get the most rooted in the senses.
Yep.
All the signs. So, a true Taurus.
Oh my god.
Kelly, thank you so much. That was beautiful.
You're such a good girl. Thank you.
So, give you time to kind of pack up. Do you guys like need to
go
to the restroom? Yeah, creature comforts.
And no episode is complete without me giving a few shout outs. First of all, I want to say thank you to Kevin for hosting such wonderful events with such wonderful people. I'd like to thank Travis for teaching us a little bit about our past, where we come from, the people involved. I'd also like to thank Kelly for tuning into our bodies, our energies, helping us clear out some negative emotions that we might have been feeling. And I feel like I don't say this enough, but I really want to give a huge, tremendous shout out and a big thank you to my buddy, Brian McCullough. He comes through for me week after week, putting together some amazing audio quality so that I don't sound like a fool with a rock band microphone, which, truth be told, is what I was going to do. And, of course, to you, dear listeners, thank you for tuning in yet again. You can find me at Twitter, Periscope, and Instagram, all three at Positive Herpes. You can find me on Facebook.com/Positive Herpes and Positive Herpes@gmail.com.